Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a show about saying exactly what you mean in the clearest and dearest way possible. This is a place to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case. And above all, this is a show about gratitude felt and gratitude expressed. And we tend to look for people who live their lives beautifully in a variety of ways, all kinds of different ways to live a beautiful life in this world, who know that life is always but always mid-journey, who have come through enormous challenges and enormous blessings and gifts, have survived one, have embraced the other, and who know how to and are willing to share it.
So this is, as you can tell, this is not about small talk. This is about important talk about the things in life that matter. Just to clue you in a bit, for those of you who have not listened before about what a love letter is, it is it can be romantic, but it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. It can be to anyone at all, to a sweetheart, to a family member, to friends, teachers, just whoever is important in your life that you want to share something special, living or long gone. It can even be a letter to yourself.
Just so it's a real letter on real paper, stamped and mailed. And a love letter really can be to anyone, as Teresa says. It can be to encourage, to heal, to express love, to hope for passion, to ask for the moon, to usher somebody lovingly out of your life, as well as adorably inviting somebody into your life. It really doesn't matter. A note to an entire team of medical people who have ushered you tiptoed past death and back into life. Any kind of expression of gratitude is a beautiful thing to write and to receive. And it's your chance to put your best self on paper and send it to someone.
And today we have another fabulous guest. I can't wait to get started. So why don't you go ahead?
You'll be glad.
Janet.
Okay, well, I want to introduce Iris Fuller. I've known Iris for most of our adult life, actually. And Iris is the founder of Filamento, which some of you may remember was an exquisite tabletop home furnishing store on Fillmore in Sacramento. And Iris, whose mission in life, I think Iris was put here to make the world more beautiful. There is no place she steps that doesn't have some trace of beauty. She just can't help it. And she saw an old dime store, I think it was, with a loft and fell in love with it and made it gorgeous and is known in so many circles now for what she does. She's been married for 44 years to the same man. She has two children, a granddaughter, and the most adorably personality-filled poodle I've ever seen named Rosie. So I'm going to ask Iris, who, like most of us, has been through challenges and has a lot to say to a lot of people, but I'm going to ask Iris to talk about one of the biggest blessings, accomplishments of her life. And let's just start there.
Well, my love letter was to my wonderful store.
So you've already written this after we, knowing you were coming here.
Absolutely. Wrote a love letter to Filamento.
Okay, so before we talk about the things that you said, let's talk about the idea of that. You had a choice of writing to anything, anybody in the world, any kind of love letter. And I know that you're a person who writes love letters. And I know that you wrote one to your husband. What was it, your 35th anniversary?
Yes, it was.
Because?
He had enough ties, about 400 of which he never wore.
I never saw him in a tie in
exactly.
The 40 years I've known him.
Exactly. And he's
they don't go with those T-shirts.
He's one of those gentlemen that has put a pen down on his desk. Oh, I think he put it there 20 years ago, and it's still the same pen.
Really?
So his material needs are so simple, and it was just another gift. And
so
I,
you wrote to him. I'd like to talk about this for a minute.
Sure.
Because it was a beautiful letter, and the result was amazing. So what did you tell him?
In this letter, I recalled the moment I laid eyes on him. I was 19, and he was 21. In fact, it was his 21st birthday. And what it smelled like, what it looked like, what it felt like. And
touch of his hand.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The touch of my hand going into his hand. And even after all these years, it was just that moment in time. And it was just burned in my brain. And so I typed it all up. It was early in the morning. I tucked it on the nightstand before he got up. And about an hour later, down the stairs comes this sobbing,
Oh, really?
Hysterically crying man.
Is he one to cry?
Not one to cry. So it was such a beautiful gift that we could both share. And I
wonderful.
Think he remembered a little bit of it, but not as detailed as I recalled it to him.
And now he has it forever to look at.
Yes, he does.
So you're used to writing love letters. And, of course, you've got children and you've got friends and you've got a lot of people in your life. But one of the things, as I see it, I remember when you opened that store. And I know that in your young motherhood, you thought that motherhood would really be your shining glory and your main reason for being here. But there was always that little part of you that wanted to do something more and something else. Not to say that motherhood isn't a beautiful thing. So you started the store, and what came of that? I know that you're one of the most giving people I know.
Thank you, Janet. I think... I had been looking for a creative release after the children were on their way. Mitchell was 12 and Stacy was 16, and they kind of had a pretty good foundation going, and I put them under my wing, and there they were at the store with me. So I was able to know where they were.
So you had your whole family working with you
absolutely.
At different things.
1981, mm-hmm. And Fillmore Street was just a sad little neighborhood that had been going through a transition, and we saw this magnificent old store. It was an old grocery store from 1880.
Oh.
Had survived the earthquake and just a beautiful, I think they call it old Western architecture.
And you turned it into what?
Into Filamento.
Which was, in your view, what is this to you?
Well, it was really an extension of my soul. And that's, I think, what the result of a lot of creative energy built up over all those years, finally a release.
But as a living thing, Filamento really was. And I remember, I think people came there for that, in addition to the exquisiteness you carried. But I think people came for more than that. I think they came because it was you.
Well, I think there was a kind of magic in the building anyway. It had been a gourmet grocery store with pickle barrels and homemade bread, and then it was a toy store for many years, and then it was a Five and Dime, which is probably the best store in the world. And so the energy in the building was really pretty amazing in that old wood structure, and it really hadn't been renovated or pulled out. So I felt like it was in the floorboards. I felt that it was in the wood itself. And we weren't sure what we were going to do there. We just wanted to have I love to merchandise, and I love to put things together, and I think home and functionality and all that stuff. And it was 1981. It was really before Pottery Barn and Crate and Barrel and
yes.
all those home stores that we're so used to now.
So it was kind of Mama's home in a way, because I know that you would come out of your office when there was somebody with a baby downstairs. You would come out of your office and go downstairs
or a baby
cuddle.
Goat or a puppy or
yes,
whatever.
Right, an animal. Exactly. And I know that in October, I think it was of 87, when the stock market took that dreadful dive and there was a lot of insecurity and people, I remember you're saying that was the busiest day the day after that you had ever had, because people came to the store to be around what it was. And the day after the earthquake, people came to help you clean up.
It
so
had
I understand.
A life of its own. I think that we created this space that was a place where people could come and it felt good. I think we all need to treat ourselves and celebrate the holidays, and I think and the staff that we had and the training that went on, and it was just a collaboration. I could never do it myself. It was way too big. It was over 10,000 square feet. So collectively, I think it kind of squeezed all that delicious, loving juice out of it. It was so much more than a store. We set out to be a good store, and it turned out to be a great store.
It was. You were carrying chocolate sauce. And I remember that. And then you had teaspoons, and people could just come and eat the chocolate sauce in your store.
Exactly.
It was like going home to Mama every day, only the most beautiful you've ever seen in the Mama. So I'm going to say who gets your love letter right after station identification.
Just thanks, Janet. We'll just remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM. It's Love Letters Live. And we want to thank Barbara Patenkin of Classic Communication. Barbara is helping to underwrite this program. Classic Communication is your best source for invitations, announcements, personalized stationery, and special gifts. You can find out about the great things in Classic Communication in a couple of ways. One is through the internet at www.classiccommunication.com. And or you can also visit the store at 1623 California Street here in San Francisco.
Thank you. So let's get back to Iris and let me ask that question. Who gets your love letter today?
Filamento gets my love letter.
Okay. So you're writing to Filamento as the living entity it is.
Right.
To express your love to Filamento for what it has been to you.
Right.
What are the things you most want to say to this Filamento? Which is an extension of yourself.
I loved you.
Oh, by the way, I loved you. You're saying it in the past. So when did the store change? And when did you have to give up the store? What were the circumstances? At some point, you went on to do something. Mm-hmm.
We were having delicious success all those 20 years, 20 plus years that we were there. We had double-digit increases every year. We just sailed on that glory and just kept building and building and growing and growing. And then the economy really took a turn. The dot-com just started to fall apart. The city was just, no one was speaking about it. And it was this undercurrent of business just not being good. And we realized, even though I wanted to be there till the end of time itself, we realized that we had stayed at the fair too long.
Oh.
We had been there about a year past the time when we probably should have closed. We just couldn't hold on anymore. So we decided not to renew the lease and to make a gracious exit.
So now you're looking at one of your best friends behind you, and you want to say what? Tell us everything you want to say. Why don't you? You know, I can see that you've thought about this and you've already written something. Why don't you just read us parts of it?
Sure. I'd love to. Dear Filamento, I've wanted to write to you for more than 5 years now. It seems like I blinked my eyes and you're gone. Now is the time. First of all, I must tell you how much I miss you. You clearly defined who I was. I know that some might think you were only a building, a location, a business, but I and you know that it was more than that. You were not just a job or a career. You were a creative extension of my soul. It took me all this time to go through your archives to find a place that could not be sad for your closing. You were an amazing place where people grew and loved and cried and died, where couples met and fell in love and got married, where hidden talents were nurtured and wonderful careers were born, and so were a few babies. We sang and danced and laughed and partied. The parade of celebrities that appeared so frequently, Santa, Uncle Sam, the Easter Bunny, Cher, but most important, were the people that came to visit us, were the people that walked in and spent so much time savoring each and every item. I would watch visitors stroke every napkin, touch every piece of flatware, smell every bar of soap. Oh, those soaps and lotions and potions on the mezzanine, those luscious towels and jammies and stuff for the bath. Not a holiday went by that we didn't celebrate. I think we needed all the celebrating we could muster up. I remember the day that our dearest rabbi friend walked in and blew the shofar for a high holiday. What a sound resonated through your old wood walls. I remember on your 13th birthday, we had a huge bat mitzvah cake. I decided that you were Jewish. They thought the name was Italian. Whether it was a grand formal table setting with dishes that were so expensive that people just looked at them with awe, or it was an amazing little toothpick with a knot at the end, you sure were the ultimate eye candy. You were the inspiration for many a creative soul. The colors that I could taste would be as seasonal as we could create in a city that really doesn't have seasons. Sometimes I thought we could pay the rent by just charging a small admission at the door. Together we were able to reach out to our neighbors and our neighborhood and help when we could. You had such a generous heart. And all the seeds that we helped to plant, a small item that I would find. I called them acorns, companies that grew from tiny little orders and grew to huge, wonderful companies. We were very blessed to be able to have the freedom to try all sorts of wonderful products. I called it romancing the stone. We made rocks look good, and what's wrong with a rock anyway? It was the ultimate treasure hunt. I used to say that buying for you was like going into an art store and buying tubes of paint for my paintings. Sometimes I would be inspired by a very obscure item and it would lead me into a whole arena of a theme or a story. I love putting things together to please the eye. Monochromatic color is like music to me, but the best music were the people that touched both of us, some for a few hours, others for many years, and some for a lifetime. Whether it was a lovely old woman, one was 96 to be exact, apologizing for not buying anything, or an 8-year-old little boy telling his mommy he wanted this lamp for his room. We appeal to all the senses of grace and style. Wherever I go, I run into people that miss us. It was amazing how far and wide we reached and how we were fondly remembered. I loved going to you every day. Some mornings, when I was there all by myself, I loved turning Barbra Streisand on so loud the dishes would rattle. Hopefully, we showed my children how hard work, passion, and love can sustain a life. My kids were my inspiration, and I wanted them to be proud of their mom. I hope they got that. I remember that when my father passed away at such a young age, I thought that he had not had a chance to leave his footsteps on the planet, and that I wanted to make sure I did. I did. We gave Mr. Dong back the keys on Gil's 60th birthday, September 3rd, 2001. This is exactly 1 week before September 11th. We definitely were blessed to have been able to complete our task in such a timely manner. I always knew we were blessed. Well, my dear, we had a great run. There wasn't a day that I didn't want to be there. Thank you, beautiful store.
Thank you, Iris. Oh, I don't think there's anything left to say.
Not.
That is so beautiful. May I ask you one question? Who will you send this to? Are there people who were with you all those years from Filamento who might like to see this? And maybe not. Maybe you'll send it to your children.
Well, I'm thinking of putting a story together and putting a book together about a story about a store.
But meanwhile, for this beautiful letter, can you mail it to somebody so it can be mailed and received and complete the cycle, even if you mail it to yourself?
I will mail it to myself.
Perfect.
I think it's a letter to you.
Yes.
It definitely is a letter to you.
And I remember when you, at all, what, 5'2", ran out of space to house what you could to... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, 4'9", she just signaled me. Okay. Tiny little thing.
Yes, please, Janet.
With a heart as big as a Buick. And I think when you ran out of space, what you could hold inside yourself to give to others, you made the store. And it is you.
Thank you.
Still have things. I still have a tube of ginger body lotion that just sits in my bathroom as a work of art. I don't use it because I don't ever want to get rid of the tube.
Use that lotion.
Thank you, Iris.
Iris,
thank
I have you. A question for you. Where did this tremendous creativity come from? When you were a little girl and people said, Iris, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you tell them?
Well, I think my mom told me that I used to play store when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And my father had incredible grace and style and sophistication. And I always thought that if he ever walked in the store, he would just be so enchanted by it.
And he is somehow housed in you. You are like him. You carry him.
Yeah, very much. Very much.
So you've always been interested in the pretty things and the aromatic things? And
I think we're supposed to surround ourselves with beauty. I think that's what this life is.
Did you grow up with beautiful things like that?
Not necessarily.
But you like them.
That's why I think we need to find what we need in this life and go do it.
But I think that there was more to your store than just the pretty things that were in it. That's what I'm hearing. It was some kind of magic that was created. And I'm a how person. I'm always asking the how questions. Do you have any idea how you created that, in addition to the beautiful things that you sold?
Well, I think that there was a lot of love. I wanted people there to work with me that wanted to be there, that loved to do that, to love to take care of people, to love to make pretty, to love to celebrate a meal or a holiday, or why shouldn't we sleep on beautiful sheets and, you know.
How do you find people like that?
You hunt high and low. I was very fortunate. And I think that people could feel it when they came in the store.
I think the artists found you also. And
they
I
did.
Think there was not one you could turn away, as I recall.
We finally put a company together called Filamento International that represented over 50 artisans and craftspeople, and we took them to market in on a wholesale level, which was really exciting, too.
Well, I have a feeling you're not finished yet.
Not finished yet.
What's on the horizon, or what's happening now?
Well, this last 5 years has been kind of a challenge, thinking of where and when. We've been moving around a lot, looking for a place to light, and perhaps it's Sonoma.
Well, that's certainly a lovely place.
I would guess you will find another thing to do that brings beauty into this world, because I don't think you can do without it. Fish got to swim and birds got to fly, and you got to do this.
I'm failing retirement miserably.
Yes. All right. Part of every Love Letters Live show is for listener involvement, and we encourage all of you listeners to participate in that. Send us your letters, your questions, stories that you have, letters that you've received, letters that you've written. On today's show, we have a letter to Janet. And let me just read that and see how you would answer this question. Dear Janet, I have a terrible relationship with a very abusive mother. Are we supposed to write to everyone in our lives? Do I have to write to her?
Absolutely not. This is not about having to write to everybody. This is just to encourage people to write if you have it in you to write. And sometimes even with an abusive or difficult parent, you can still focus on what there is. And sometimes if you think about it, you will find yourself saying, well, I liked that, and wasn't she good at that? And then focus on that. But if somebody's difficult, absolutely you don't have to write to that person. This is only for writing to people you want to write to and how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's a good question.
Any other tips that you have for us?
Well,
in the minutes that we have remaining, you're full of good tips. And I also want to remind our listeners that Janet also does workshops. And please let us know if you'd like to have one for your organization. We don't do public workshops. We do them through organizations. And you can let us know through the website at www.loveletterslive.com. I'll give that out again at the end of the show. But for now, Janet, a couple of more tips that you might give to workshop participants.
Well, yes. One thing, by the way, is when you're writing that love letter, to take the envelope, and stationery choice is a big, really fun thing to do, to choose something that really is part of the letter. I was talking to somebody recently, and she was going to write a letter to her husband, and I said, what kind of stationery will you use? And she said, I don't know, I didn't think about that. And then she said, something textured, and she ran one hand over the other. Something textured, because that's so like him. But choosing stationery is a wonderful joy to do, and take some thought. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is the stamp you use. There is such a variety of the most beautiful stamps that speak volumes. Go to the post office and have a good time.
I like the Wonder Woman ones.
Okay, good. I would imagine you would. And I got some insect ones once that were just gorgeous. I don't know if my people who got them thrilled in the same way I did, but they were beautiful. But I wanted to say, the first thing I do, and I think the first thing it's good to do, is to fill out the envelope, address the envelope before you start. Name, address, and then stamp it and keep it right on the table next to you while you were writing. It'll help you finish it up. Nobody throws away an envelope that's already got a 39-cent stamp on it. Mm-hmm. We can waste $10 a week on absolutely nothing, but somehow not a stamp. We won't throw that away. And if you have any thoughts of not continuing, quitting for any reason, you look at that envelope, you won't. You'll continue.
Mm-hmm. Iris, we'd love to hear from you again. Your letter was absolutely beautiful. Any more love letters in the hopper?
Well, as I started this one, I realized there was a few more up my sleeve. Mm-hmm. So we'll think about it, and it's just a wonderful way to connect.
Isn't it? Now, when you send that to yourself, the you who has written it is going to be different than the you who reads it.
Exactly.
And you're going to see something different in it. You know, it's two different people, the giver and the receiver. So if something comes up after this that you realize when you're reading this letter, let us know, and maybe we can share that on another show with our listeners.
Great, I'd love to. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you. This brings us to the end of our program for today. We want to thank everyone for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in every week to Love Letters Live. KUSF 90.3 FM. And again, we encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and send them. Again, our website is www.loveletterslive.com. That's no dashes, just loveletterslive.com. Again, send us your questions and examples and the results that you receive from them, from your love letters. We love to hear those.
And if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, I want you to remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So, until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.